Most of you know that tomorrow is Memorial Day, and so many of us are remembering those family members and relatives, fathers, brothers, sons, uncles, and not just men, but women also who've given their lives, you know, for the cause of what is right. Late. Jesus did say that greater love has no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends.
Amen.
And I guess you know that if you don't know the history of Memorial Day, it actually began as Decoration Day after the Civil War.
Yes.
There were so many casualties, more lives lost in the Civil War when we, the citizens of the United States, were fighting each other than any other war. Christians in the South killing Christians in the North. Christians in the North killing Christians in the South. Family members in the North fighting family members in the South. Family members in the South fighting family members in the North. World War I saw Christians in the United States and England fighting Christians in Germany and Italy. Have you thought about that? There were churches in Germany and churches in Italy. What were they praying? We know what the churches over here were praying for. What were they praying? Can you see why our Lord said, "My kingdom is not of this world"?
Yes.
He also said that a kingdom, no kingdom divided against itself, can stand. And we barely stood after the consequences of the Civil War. But that's how Memorial Day came to be. There were so many dead soldiers to be buried, they had to create national cemeteries. And instead of soldiers being sent back home to be buried in their family plot, many soldiers began to be buried in mass cemeteries in cities. And to remember them, to honor them, families began to, on this time of year, when the spring, when there was an abundance of flowers, they would collect flowers and they would decorate the graves of the fallen. And so the first holiday, recognized holiday, was called Decoration Day, where they decorated the graves of those who had lost their lives. And it became, as that tradition took hold in both the North and the South, it eventually became a national holiday, the last Monday in May, declared to be Memorial Day to remember those who laid down their lives for the sake of their country. And yet, Abraham, our father in the faith, he had no country. He had no, the Bible says, he had no city or home. You know why? He sought a city whose builder and maker was God. And so he just wandered about. He lived as an alien and a stranger. And though we live in the United States and life here is very wonderfully filled with good roads, education, an abundance of food, there's order here because God has blessed. You know, righteousness exalts a nation. And in any nation that seeks to do what's right, God will exalt it. But sin is a disgrace to any people. So the good things that we are enjoying, many of the good things that we are enjoying as in our generation, is because of the righteousness of men who went before us. And God bless them. For example, we're sitting in pews that other faithful men and women sacrificed and faithfully gave so that this church would be here. We're enjoying the faithfulness of others who have gone before us, the sanctuary, Our ability to meet here, the freedom we have to do so, is here. But we meet here not only as citizens of the United States, we meet here as citizens of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And in our citizenship, we have fellow citizens in Gaza. We have brothers and sisters in Palestine. We have brothers and sisters in North Korea. We have brothers and sisters in Iran. We have brothers and sisters in many countries that are enemies to the United States. But if our citizenship is in heaven and we await a Savior from there, and our King, our Lord said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And you remember when he said that? When Pilate asked him, "So are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Is that your own idea, or is that what, did you hear that from somewhere?" And he goes, "I'm not a Jew." Well, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this place." "So you are a king then." And he said, "My kingdom is not of this world, or else my servants would fight. But now my kingdom is from another place." And what's the history we have? We've read the book of Acts, because Jesus warned his disciples, and it came to pass that no disciple is above his master. If they hated me, they will hate you. They will treat you this way because of me. They have not known the Father or me. So we are in this unique place. Those of us who are here or citizens of the United States enjoy the protection of our government, because all government, all authority is from God. And the authority exists as a servant to do good to the people. Those in authority have been given the responsibility, including they bear the sword, to inflict vengeance on those who do wrong, and to bring praise and commendation to those who do right. And we are encouraged in all of Paul's letters and in the letters of Peter. We're encouraged as believers to submit to the present authorities in good conscience, because we are seeking to live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness. But we need to remember, in a day when there is a lot of nationalistic and patriotic fervor, that the country of Iran is not our enemy. They're not my enemy. The Ayatollah Khomeini is not my enemy. Hezbollah is not my enemy. The Taliban is not my enemy. Hamas is not my enemy. We, as God's people, do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemies are principalities and powers, ruling forces in the world that control governments. Satan's forces, corrupting the world and pitting men against one another. Our Lord knew that a house divided against itself shall not stand. So what do you think the strategy of our enemy as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, as believers, if our enemies are principalities and powers under the control of Satan, don't you think the strategy is he comes to divide us against each other?
Yes.
And you know how he seeks to do that? By getting us involved in the affairs of this world and taking worldly sides on matters that are this world's concerns. I'm not saying that the matters that what happened in this world does not affect our lives as Christians, certainly. You know, there are believers who live in countries where if they openly acknowledge their Christianity, they are driven from their home, they are stripped of their employment, and they are sometimes persecuted to death because what they're following Christ is considered treason against their faith. And yet, the religion of Islam and all Muslims, they're not my enemy. Hindus are not my enemy. I will say this, like our Lord Jesus said, whoever is not for Jesus Christ is against Jesus Christ. So there are enemies, and we are not of this world and this present world because it is under the control of the enemy is hostile to who we are and to our Lord and to His word and to His rule and authority. And that hostility, Jesus said, will increase until in every nation, people in every nation will hate the followers of Christ. It's just something you need to know and be aware of. We don't know how much longer we'll enjoy the kind of freedom that we've had. We can certainly appreciate it and thank God for it, but not every believer has enjoyed the kind of freedom we have. It's not promised, and things may change. But it's interesting how tomorrow and even this weekend, how even the world, those that are non-believers, how they recognize the value of someone who died defending what's right or the liberty of someone else. They recognize that. And they believe that that sacrifice should be honored. And yet, our Lord voluntarily laid down His life to fight the world's greatest enemy. And He's not honored in the same way. The greatest enemy to mankind has never been another man. The greatest enemy to mankind is Satan. Yes. And his corrupt nature, sin. And the work of Satan is to make men sin. That's what Jesus said. He's a liar from the very beginning. When he lies, he speaks his native language. And he's been sinning from the beginning. And it is sin that has caused the pain and misery through the corrupting the world. And pitting men against each other so that Christians in Germany and Christians in the United States and England and other countries can, in service to their country, set their faith, or I don't know that they set it aside, but in their faith can take up arms and kill one another. In their idea, in the name of doing what's right. But this is not how the early believers acted. You've read the book of Acts. When Peter was arrested, Peter was arrested by Herod right after Herod had killed James, one of the other apostles. Yes. When Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he purposed, all right, I'm going to gain their favor. I'm going to go after by another bigger fish. So he had Simon Peter arrested. He put him in charge of 16 soldiers, and he planned to execute him the next day. And you remember what the church was doing? They organized a militia, right? Passed out swords and knives and spears, and they gathered, and they set out a plan that they would sneak over to the jail and bust him out and slew the... No, no. Not at all. What did they do? What was their response? They prayed. That's all they did. The early Christians saw family after family member abducted, unjustly taken away to jail, abused, martyred, treated in the most atrocious, unthinkable, horrific ways. And what was their response?
Prayer.
They did what their Lord had commanded them. They didn't give their lives to defend their homes. The scripture says they joyfully accepted the confiscation of their goods. They lived in caves and holes in the ground. They were sawn in two. They were set on fire. And it said the world was not worthy of them. They lived as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and their faithfulness to Jesus Christ meant they would not resist evil with evil. And they took the words of our Lord very seriously, and they blessed the people who were cursing them. And they did good to the people that were hating them. And they prayed for the people who were despitefully using them. And you know why they did this? They were remembering their Lord. Their Lord didn't fight. You remember what they did to Jesus? Jesus, the Son of God, who when Peter, at one time, one of the disciples was going to defend Jesus with the sword. You remember in the garden when they came to arrest him? Peter impulsively, he had a sword, he pulled it out, and he aimed for the neck, but the guy must have ducked. And so he just caught the ear. Because if you swing like that and the guy ducks, you just caught the ear and cut his ear right off. And what did our Lord tell him? Put your sword away. All who live by the sword shall die by the sword. Shall I not drink the cup my Father has given to me? And then our Lord let the rest of his disciples escape. And he voluntarily allowed himself to be taken prisoner in the middle of the night to sham trials, unjust accusations, false witnesses, and he sat in silence as they spit in his face, beat him about the head, mocked him. And this was by a group of men who had hated him for 3 years, just couldn't ever get him alone without the people. And now 3 years of pent-up hatred, they were able to take out their abuse on our Lord. And they bludgeoned him. And the Bible says that like a lamb that's silent before the ones that are shearing it, he didn't open his mouth. We love that song, don't we? He could have called 10,000 angels. We get that song from what he told Peter. Don't you think even now I could call a legion of angels from my Father? It would have only taken one. In the Old Testament, one angel went out and put 185,000 Assyrians to death at one time. Just one angel. But why did our Lord allow himself to be treated this way? Scourged like he was, stripped naked, he let Roman soldiers mock him. The creator of the universe, he allowed Roman soldiers to mock him, abuse him. Says that they pulled the hair, pulled a beard out of his face. And he endured it. Why? Brothers and sisters, have we not understood? Because his kingdom is not of this world. Why does God still allow things? Why are things still going on in this world that all of us wish would no longer happen? Because God is not trying to save this order. He has a day in store. Well, he will enforce his own kingdom over the kingdoms of men.
Amen.
Over them. And he will deal with evil fully once and for all. But the reason that has not happened right now is that he desires all men to be saved. And he has servants going throughout the earth carrying the gospel to places where men have never heard about the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that the end was not going to come until men from every tribe and nation and tongue had a chance to hear. And that should be good news, because aren't we glad that our God, our Father, our God, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who through His love and mercy we are here today with hope, aren't we glad that that's His heart for others? And we should be. We should be so grateful that that's His heart. And we should understand that our mission, our purpose as citizens of His kingdom, because His kingdom is in this world, but it's not here to dominate this world. We are to be here in this world as salt and light.
Yes.
Especially the salt and light of righteousness. As we walk in the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, living by the truth of God, our presence should be the light. This is what is right. This is the right way to respond. This is the right way to speak. This is the right way to act. This is when people look at us, they should see righteous actions. They should see righteous conduct, because the Spirit of the living God is at work in us to do what is pleasing to Him, and righteousness pleases Him. And so our conversation, our actions to everyone in our life should be the salt and light of righteousness. That's our mission here. It's not to enforce His kingdom on the world. He doesn't need our help to do that. When He decides to enforce His kingdom on the earth, He'll come back with myriads and myriads of angels. And angels are more powerful than we are. And He'll just take over. That's a different time. The day we're actually looking forward to that, because in our mind, the things we wrestle with, all those questions, if God is so powerful, why does He allow? That's going to get answered someday. And you know what? Those same people asking those questions will probably be going, that's too much power. Don't you think that's overkill when He says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you? And He casts men into eternal torment? You know, a lot of us don't even like to think about that, because that seems to be an extreme. We want God to act, but we think, sometimes we're not afraid to question, doesn't that seem a little bit overkill? It's not for us to question the perfect and righteous and holy God, but to be faithful to Him. But let me encourage you, the right way to remember our Lord's great sacrifice and his example. There's war heroes. Probably more of you are familiar with them than I am, but I even remember some. Men that just displayed amazing valor and courage in the face. Some did it without guns. There's a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. How many of you have seen that movie? Where a man without a weapon, true to his faith, saved the lives of many men and changed their hearts just by his constancy and the things that he suffered. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Titus chapter 3, the way that we should remember our Lord somewhat relates to the beginning of Memorial Day, Decoration Day. It's interesting how we think it brings honor to those who have fallen to decorate their grave, to make it pretty, to beautify it. That's the spirit that you and I have an opportunity to do, to remember or bring honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. But this kind of decoration is not external only. It's more of an attitude. It's an internal attitude that manifests itself in a beautiful way before the eyes of the world. Right here in Titus chapter 3, right at the first of the chapter, this is mentioned. Paul writes to Titus, verse 1, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one." I'd like us to decorate our lives by removing all slander. So can I just encourage you here? I don't care who it is that you're having trouble with in your life, do not slander them. Don't slander your wife. Don't slander your husband. Don't slander the president. Don't slander a Democrat. Don't slander a Republican. Don't slander anybody. Don't use your mouth the way the world uses their mouth. Don't slander your boss. Don't slander the man who's not doing his job on your crew. Don't slander your neighbor. Don't slander anyone. Decorate your mouth with grace and mercy and goodness and kindness, and beautify your life in memory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Slander no one. To be peaceable. To be peaceable. You know what it means to be peaceable? Don't take sides. If you're a Democrat, the Republicans are not your enemy. If you're a Republican, the Democrats are not your enemy. They may not agree with you. You may not like their policies, but they're not your enemy. And don't treat them like an enemy, and don't think it's your job to fight them. Yes, there's things that happen that we disagree with, that we cannot support, and you can speak the truth in love, and you say, "I think that's wrong. I'll pray for you to come to see that. Here's why I believe it's wrong." But you don't have to treat them like they're your enemy. You don't have to treat the Iranians like they're your enemy. Yeah, they may be a threat to the United States. They sure are a threat to Israel. Sure. I'm not saying that they're... bad things could happen from men. But for us, you know the worst thing that could happen to us? The worst. As a believer, the worst. This is the worst. You could get killed.
Yes.
That's the worst. That's all. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who can destroy the body. And after this, nothing else they can do. That's all they can do. That's all they can do. And if we're not to fear that, I don't need to worry. I mean, I don't need to worry about that. They're not my enemy. They need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because if they die, they go to hell. If I die, you see? You see who's in greater need? I am to live my life like he did. Jesus said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But what do I say? Love your enemy.
Yes.
This is how we live our lives to bring honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. But too many of us have allowed the toxic and divisive attitude that is permeating our nation to infect the way we think. And it's time that we live like citizens of the kingdom and cast off these weights.
Yes.
Cast off the weights that the world wants to put on you. They have their agendas and they have their critical and they have their ways of thinking, and they have men that can sound very eloquent in expressing their cause. Don't get caught up in that. Beware of that. Follow these instructions. Slander no one. Be peaceable and considerate. And I love this. Demonstrating all meekness to all men. The idea of meekness here is restraint. Do I disagree with some policies? Oh, yes. Do I think some laws that are being passed or some decisions being made are very harmful? Oh, yes, I do. Do I think they're going to have some very bad effects? Yes, I do. But my life is not wrapped up in those things. So I am able, even if I'm given a chance to speak to it, I'm able to practice a lot of restraint. And that means I choose to not run at the mouth. I choose to keep a very tight rein on what I would say. And then he gives a reason why, demonstrating all meekness towards all men. Then he says why. Here's what we're supposed to remember. The next verse, verse 3, because at one time you too were foolish and disobedient and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. You know what? A lot of us forget that. What if we are right about a matter? I think we know what God says about same sex. I think we know what God says about divorce. We know what God says about what's right and what's wrong. But being right does not give us place to be arrogant. We are to demonstrate all meekness to all men, remembering we too were foolish. We too were disobedient. We too were deceived. So you know, if you too were deceived, give me just an example to show that you don't have a right to do this. Stand on your platform and look down at everybody and tell them what's right. Like you figured it out on your own? Like you weren't a clown one day? And you weren't a fool one day? And you weren't wrong? But you could tell them off now, because now you know what that is that's carnal. That's soulish. That's not spiritual. We're to be restrained. We're to be humble. Jesus said, take my yoke and learn of me. What did he say? Two characteristics of him. I am meek and lowly of heart. It really helps us to remember that the reason you or I have hope, the reason you or I understand anything, the reason you or I have made any progress in what is right, is because God has shown us mercy. God has shown us grace. And God has shown us kindness. And that's what we're to show the world.
Yes.
We can tell them they're wrong. We can say we disagree. We can speak the truth in love. Without arrogance, without haughtiness, without pride. You know, the gospel and the truth of God's word is difficult enough sometimes, isn't it? I mean, living together outside of marriage is a sin. That's the truth. When we add to it haughtiness or pride, like we think we know something, we're making it even more difficult. We need to learn to speak the truth in love. And if you and I will remember that we at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating and being hated of one another. That's what the rest of the verse says. But when the kindness and love of God, our love of God for mankind, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous deeds that we have done, but because of His own mercy and grace.
Amen.
And so, on a call to Memorial Day, to remember our Lord who laid down His life to overcome evil. He overcame evil by doing good. And this is how we are to remember Him. We are to overcome evil by doing what's good. We are to bless when we're cursed. We are to do good when we're hated. And we are to pray for those who even despitefully use us, that we may be sons of our fathers in heaven. Because our Father in heaven is kind to the wicked and the ungrateful. He's kind to both the wicked and the ungrateful. And that's what He would have us be. We don't have to agree with the wicked. Notice He even calls them wicked, right? Doesn't change the fact that there are right and wrongs. There are evil men and good men. There are wicked men and righteous men. So we do not have to call all men righteous. But we have to treat wicked men with kindness. This is our calling. To walk in the spirit of grace and mercy of our Lord. And especially here, as citizens of the heavenly kingdom, that's why we're meeting here today. It happens to be in the United States, but it may not look the same like it is in China, but you know, in China, there are brothers and sisters of ours gathering together. In Palestine, there are brothers and sisters of ours gathering together. In Gaza, there are brothers and sisters of ours gathering together. In North Korea, there are brothers and sisters of ours gathering together. And we are here, though we live in the United States, we are here because we all have a higher citizenship than U.S. citizenship. Our highest citizenship is in heaven. And we're awaiting our Savior from there. He's already been elected. He got the only vote that counted. God voted for Him and He won the election. Amen. He's been appointed. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
All other authority is under Him.
Yes.
And we are just waiting for Him to come at His own right time for His own inauguration, and it's going to be wonderful. But you know what He's doing right now? He's being kind to His enemies. He's giving a chance for His enemies to be reconciled to Him first. That's okay, isn't it? I wouldn't want it any other way. That's how I happen to be where I am today, by that kindness. And I want to walk in that way. And so I just encourage you in this day when, you know, so it's odd to me that men can recognize how special it is that a man can give his life to the last breath to stop another evil man and not see that the Son of God gave his life to stop evil beyond any single person. And they just don't make that connection. But we do. And we should revere and honor our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By decorating our lives. Back to Decoration Day. It's one thing to put flowers to decorate graves. Okay? I mean, they do look prettier. But a far more powerful decoration would be you and I as believers decorating our lives by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Decorating your life with kindness. Decorate your life with gentleness. Decorate your life with meekness. Put on. That's what the Bible says. Put it on. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. Put on kindness. Put it on. And live such a beautiful life that it brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what I'd like us to remember this Memorial Day. As you remember, you know, your loved one who may have given their life to a cause. Well, no one has a greater cause than the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to reconcile the world to his Father.
Yes.
And that's our mission. God is in Christ, not counting men's trespasses against them, but reconciling them to himself. So I see there's a lot of trespasses out there. A lot of them. But that's not to make us warriors to go and war about. God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
He is seeking to reconcile the world to himself. And let's let that be our mission. Whether in your home, at school, at work, in your neighborhood, we are ministers of reconciliation, and our appeal to the world is be reconciled to God while there's time. Okay?
Amen.
Not to become enemies, not to be combative, not to be social justice warriors, not to get caught up in the craziness of the world's conflicts, but to be peacemakers, remembering we're not of this world. We happen to be in it, but we're not of it, okay?